Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on this snowy morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to The Checkup, our weekly series about how healthcare is changing in Maryland. As of November 30th, almost 3,800 Marylanders had enrolled in private insurance through the Maryland Health Connection, the state's online health exchange. They're hoping to sign up 150,000 in the first year of the exchange, but it's been plagued by malfunctions like the ones producer Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy faced when they tried to use it late yesterday.
So I'm trying to log in. I clicked on the login button, and it's probably been about 45 seconds since that, and it's just my computer is just waiting to do something.
That's Matt. They waited 2 minutes and decided to try to log in using Stephanie's computer. They were able to log in at first, but the website then crashed and they weren't able to log in again. So they called the exchange helpline. The wait time was estimated at about 30 minutes.
If you're calling to apply and or enroll today, please consider using our website or in-person assistance at a local connector entity.
We reached out to talk about the exchange with Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown and with Joshua Sharfstein, head of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, as well as Carolyn Katraki, who's Governor Martin O'Malley's lead on health care reform and is now the interim director of the online marketplace. They were not available. They'll be holding a press conference this morning in Baltimore to talk about the exchange. But with me now to talk about it is Sarah Gantz. She reports on health care for the Baltimore Business Journal. Welcome back to the show, Sarah, and thanks for coming in on this snowy morning.
Thanks for having me, Sheila.
Now, Maryland invested a lot of time and money into creating a functional exchange. It was expected to work better than many other states, and it has not. What's gone wrong?
Well, they've had a lot of technical problems with the website, for one, glitches as far as user experience, the issues that your producers had logging on, creating accounts, viewing plans. They've also had issues transferring information to insurers. I think some of those problems have been resolved at this point. Those are just a few of the basic problems of what's gone wrong. I know Rebecca Pierce, a former executive director, testified a few weeks ago that it's possible that the fact that Maryland made a point of being ahead of the curve and really trying to get ahead of health reform could have been part of the problem. Instead of waiting for regulations like a lot of other states did, Maryland tried to sort of forge the way for health reform and the exchanges.
Because I think a lot of Marylanders probably have a question: if the federal government could get its exchange functioning, not perfectly, but pretty well by December 1st, what are the special problems that Maryland is having?
I mean, that's a really good question. I personally don't know what the special problems are that Maryland's been having, but they've been persistent. They've had as you said, they've had a change in leadership. Rebecca Pierce resigned late Friday. They have Carolyn Quatrocki now as interim director. They've brought in a new IT person, and I think they're hopeful that things will get moving now, but really we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'd like to understand that leadership question better. The chairman of the exchange, Joshua Sharfstein, the Secretary of Health, told a legislative committee in November, late November, that he couldn't estimate when the Maryland website would be functioning well. And it wasn't very long after that that Governor O'Malley said it was going to be functioning this month, sometime in December. Fill in the blanks for us. I mean, was the governor basically taking control of getting the website functional? Was Rebecca Pierce being put to the side?
Sheila, I don't know the details of what happened internally with the state, but I do know that Maryland has a lot riding on health reform and the exchange working. As I said, Maryland made a point of, and Governor O'Malley specifically made a point of making Maryland a leader in this. So politically, he and Lieutenant Governor Brown both have a lot riding on this politically. And just in terms of getting people registered for insurance, people who are uninsured, who don't have health care right now, this is their way to get health care. And if they can't get the system working properly very soon, people who want to have plans that start January 1st may not have plans that start January 1st. In order to get a plan with that start date, you need to be enrolled by mid-December. We're almost there. People do have until the end of March to enroll at all, so there's a little bit more time for that. But there's a lot riding on it in terms of getting people access to healthcare who currently don't have it.
That's Sarah Gantz, a reporter for the Baltimore Business Journal, here on Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Healthcare is part of Sarah's beat, and we're talking about the Maryland Health Exchange, which recently had a change in leadership. What are some of the proposed fixes that you've heard about? What could make this better?
Well, they're encouraging people to call the call center. I think people have had more luck with the call center. A few of the individuals I've spoken with personally who've had difficulty with the website have had more luck with the call center or with in-person navigators. Those are different local organizations in Baltimore. It's Healthcare Access Maryland. You can go in person and get help. They're doing paper applications. That's another alternative. They're also telling people who won't qualify for the subsidies that can offset the cost of insurance to consider going directly to insurance carriers for a plan.
And 211, the United Way number is also an intake. But all those paper applications, do I understand correctly? Eventually, if you're trying to check out whether you're eligible for a subsidy, somehow your information has to go through the online exchange. There's no other way to get a subsidy. Am I correct about that?
The navigators can help you determine your eligibility for a subsidy, but you're right that ultimately the paper applications do have to be processed at some point through the online system.
And what has been the experience with that? Do you know?
I don't know much about transferring the paper applications to the online system.
Yeah, I shouldn't do this from memory. I think I read in one of the Baltimore Sun stories that only about 1,500 applications that were stacked up in the last couple of weeks, only about 200 had made it through the exchange when the navigators were doing it. So that doesn't seem like a very efficient system either. There has been a fair amount of coverage, and you've done some of it, of an ongoing dispute between Noridian Healthcare Solutions, the main contractor in building the exchange, and EngagePoint, a subcontractor which is based in Maryland. What can you tell us about that?
Aside from the fact that there was a dispute and that EngagePoint is not working on the project anymore, I don't know a lot about the inner workings of the dispute. Noridian was the prime contractor for the website in charge of setting things up. Typically, when you have a contractor, they have subcontractors who do part of the work. Weeks ago, maybe even months ago, when the exchange was first having issues, the exchange leadership, Josh Sharfstein, all came out saying that they were unhappy with the progress of Noridian for addressing these issues. So while I don't know much about the dispute between Noridian and their subcontractor, Noridian is a key player in the website, as they were the prime contractor for it, and many of the technical glitches are directly related to the website.
And do I understand correctly that Noridian's contract is up December 31st?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I have read that, but I don't know what happens after that. You did an interview with Josh Sharfstein where he sounded quite unhappy with Noridian's performance to date.
A lot of the issues that they've had are the technical issues, at least. It's possible that there are some leadership issues as well, but the technical issues are directly related to the website. And as the prime contractor for the website, Noridian has taken some heat from the state for not improving it fast enough. The state has said that they are working with Noridian, and Noridian has said this as well, that they are working with the state to increase the resources dedicated to this project to improve things, make things work better.
We have just a minute left, and I just want to get back to a point that you made. Mid-December, December 23rd, I believe, is the date, the same date that the feds are setting, that one has to enroll in insurance to have it effective in Maryland January 1st. But as you pointed out, the law doesn't require people to have insurance until March. How crucial is this December 23rd date?
It's crucial for people who want to make sure that they have insurance coverage starting January 1st. So if you have a plan that's ending at the end of the year and you want to make sure that there aren't any gaps in your coverage, then it's important for you to sign up before that deadline so that you have coverage that starts January 1st. If having a gap in your coverage isn't as big of a deal for you, then you have more time to get things straightened out.
I appreciate your talking to us, Sarah. Thanks again for coming in.
Thanks very much.
Sarah Gantz reports on healthcare for the Baltimore Business Journal. We've got more episodes of The Checkup at our website, wypr.org/thecheckup. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Abu the Flute Maker. Stay with us on 88.1.